Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Big Sean, you know what we're doing today?
Going in the bag, bro.
That's right. The mailbag. So we are reading your letters, people, the questions you've sent us, and we're going to do our best to answer them. So let's jump right into the mailbag. And first, we have a question from John from Miami. He says, what are your thoughts on Forex? Can you guys do an episode on it?
Yep, you're right about that one. Yes, we definitely need to do an episode on Forex because that is definitely a trending topic, especially amongst the youth. You know, everybody's home now with COVID and they want to find ways in which to make money in a creative way. And I've gotten multiple emails and requests about Forex.
Well, Sean, why don't you, for the folks out there who don't know, can you give us a little definition of what Forex is?
Okay, well, that's a good question. By definition, Forex is a foreign exchange market, is a global, decentralized, over-the-counter market for the trading of currencies. This market determines foreign exchange rates for every currency and includes all aspects of buying, selling, and exchanging currency. In a nutshell, currency trading, Matt. It's really about trading currency.
Okay.
So if you have a dollar and you want to put that U.S. dollar and exchange it into a Canadian dollar, or you want to exchange it into a British pound, you would go into this trade market and trade on that currency. And hopefully that if you bought the Canadian dollar at 10 cents today, you may be able to sell it at 20 cents tomorrow.
All right, Sean, so do you recommend it?
Well, personally, I haven't done any. I've done foreign exchange by happenstance, meaning that, you know, I'm Canadian and I have some Canadian currency and I've exchanged it to U.S. and U.S. to Canadian, vice versa, and I've made some money off the spread. It wasn't intentional, but yes, I have done a little foreign exchange. And the question, do I recommend it? Sure. I don't want to get too deep into what a show we do, but just high level. Sure, I definitely think it's something that you could explore. I think there's opportunity in foreign exchange. I wouldn't recommend doing it as a full-time thing. Maybe a side hustle. You have your gig, you have me, and then you're like, you know, I trade currencies and I make a little extra money here and there.
John, is your initial question of will we do a show on it? Yes, we'll let you know. We'll keep your eyes and ears open, and we'll probably be bringing this topic up and go more in depth. So next up in the bag, let's jump back in the bag. Kevin from Toronto, he's asking about the stock market. He says the stock market is bouncing back, but COVID is still rampant. What are your thoughts?
I'm economics 101. I believe demand and need for goods is still very much active. It's just that people have changed what they are purchasing and the services they're providing. For example, Matt, people are not going to the movies anymore, but guess what? Netflix, Amazon Prime, they're doing exceptionally well because people still want to watch movies. They just want to do it in a safe place. You know,
pick businesses that are growing in this restrictive market.
Yeah, Amazon and Facebook quietly has made record profits, more profits than they've ever made before. You know, so in essence, short-term opportunities maybe to invest. If you're thinking from an investment perspective, you know, I'm always thinking once things have arrived, you're kind of too late. But if you want to think short term, you could be like invest in companies and organizations that are satisfying this pandemic that we're experiencing. And then long term, like I still, regardless who's president, regardless of what's happening, I am still a fan of the U.S. economy and I still believe in the U.S. economy. So if you want to go long, you could be going back and investing in stocks that have been discounted because of COVID, like airlines. You know, I do believe people are going to be traveling again. Hotels, people are going to be staying in hotels again. Amusement parks. Do I know when?
Like cruise liners. Cruise.
Yeah, these are. Do I know when? No, but I think it will happen again. And if I buy low now, when things do change, you'll be in a great position. Your portfolio will be looking exceptionally well.
All right, let's move on. Jumping back in the bag, we got Jackie from Oakland. She wants to know, are you worried about inflation?
Absolutely, but not enough to have cold feet about it. We had, you know, Dr. Darity, remember Matt, on our show a couple of weeks ago.
Sandy,
yeah, my man, awesome. Dr. Darity, Sandy. And, you know, he mentioned, I don't know if it was during the show or after the show, he mentioned, like, with all this money, stimulus money that the government's given out, and I was like, are you worried about inflation? He was like, no, because a lot of the stimulus and a lot of the things that's been thrown into the economy has been given to the rich and the poor. And the rich right now aren't really spending it. They're saving it. And inflation occurs when everybody's fighting for the same product or service, but there's not a lot of it out there. And then people drive up the price, and that's why inflation occurs. So if there's not a lot of drive for products or services, we're not going to have inflation. So, and if we do have inflation, if I'm wrong, you know, it's just adapting and changing. You can't really be... get cold feet, I think, in current markets. You kind of still have to be somewhat
scared
aggressive.
Scared money don't make money. So
there you go. Scared money don't make money.
Let's jump back in the bag. We got Marv from Milwaukee. And Marv is thinking about buying a rental property. This is right up your alley, Sean. He says, I'm not sure I want to be a landlord. Sean, can you share with me some of the challenges of being a landlord?
I think this is a separate show in itself again, Matt. So let me just give him some teasers, you know? Okay, one, I'm going to give you the perspective of not from like a high-end investor, meaning that you've purchased some properties, you have a management company managing things for you, so it's more your hands-off. I'm looking at it from the perspective of your question that it's being more of a hands-on initiative. So if it's a hands-on initiative as far as the landlord, you know, I think, Matt, you'd have to agree. You got to be a people person. You know, you got to have good communication skills. You got to like be able to listen to your tenants and understand their needs and concerns and how to address it effectively, but still being a little be empathetic because, you know, little things that you may not see as a big thing can be problematic for them. And you have to understand that and manage that. Secondly, you know, I'm not a fan of renting to friends because most friends, you know, are not like, you know, are not people that could find ways and take advantage. Have I had friends that are great tenants? Absolutely. I have one now that we've known each other for 20 years and we have a wonderful relationship. But you don't really hit that all the time. Most of the time, it can get messy. When you rent to friends, you don't really do sometimes your homework. And then you realize down the road they had bad credit. You realize down the road they screwed people over. You see a side of them that you never seen before. I like to not rent to friends because then it's nothing personal. When they got to go and the things ain't making right, they got to go. Number three, run their credit regardless. Stick with what the story tells you. Most times, when the problematic tenants I've had, I've seen the signs and I've chosen to ignore them. Bad credit, consistent bad credit tells a story. I mean, somebody, a student loan debt where they couldn't afford, I understand those situations, but like just blatantly not paying bills and do certain things and then wanting to rent from you, you're not number one on their priority list, you know? So credit checks tell the story and stick with it. Number four, I like to make tenants feel they're getting a deal. I don't like to gouge tenants, and this is just my personal perspective. I don't like to charge them market rent. I like to charge a little bit below market rent. So they feel like Sean is looking out for me. Sean is giving me a great deal, and it encourages them to stay. I believe in retaining tenants. I don't believe in tenants coming in and out. I like to have tenants there for a while. And we grow and have we grow our relationship. And the last one is, you know, take pride in your properties. If your tenants see you taking pride in the building, then they guess what? They'll take pride in the building as well. If they see you mistreat, I never understood the landlord. There's a lot of them in Brooklyn that mistreat buildings and don't care about the tenants. welfare. I just think it just sets a bad taste in your tenant's mouth and it creates problems. And those are my top five teasers, Matt.
Bottom line, it's a service type of industry to really thrive in it. You got to understand, you know, to build those good relationships, it's only going to benefit both sides. So I think those are great tips. So Marv, yeah. I hope that helps you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not saying it from like a liberal socialist standpoint. I'm saying this from a business maximizing profits standpoint. So don't think I'm trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. These are all things that will help you get maximum returns from your investment.
Okay, let's jump back in the bag. Next up, we have Devin from Scarborough. Not sure where that is. You familiar with Scarborough?
Scarborough, Ontario, Canada, Toronto. It's a suburb of Toronto.
Your cousin? Devin, your cousin? All right. Anyway, Devin asked, what is the best part of doing your podcast and what is the worst? Good question, Devin. We can definitely chime in.
I'll let you start with that.
I would say the best part, Devin, is the learning for both us as hosts and for the listeners, because like finance and life in general, it's a learning experience, as we should all know as adults. You know, like you need to continue to try to broaden your horizons and develop and become a better, more well-rounded person. So this show, there's things that are in our wheelhouse, things that are areas of our expertise, and then there's things that we're also learning about on our journey to grow. So this show is kind of the gift that keeps on giving, because it keeps us on our toes learning and watching the changes in the economy and changes in the world of finance, and then getting to share that info with you. So that to me is the best part.
Sean? Yeah, I agree with you. And I think what people understand, like, podcast is a platform to the world, you know, with no red tape. You know, when we started out, Matt, when we met over 20, 30 years ago, we'd only dream of a platform like this. You'd have to go to the big wigs and ask and beg and plead to get on a platform right. Where you have the possibility.
They had, quote unquote, gatekeepers.
Gatekeepers, yeah. You have the ability to for your voice to be heard across the world. Like, I had the luxury of meeting President Obama in 2019. And of course, I mentioned my podcast, not saying the man listened to it. I hope he did. But at least there's something that I have out there that, you know, he can listen to, or anybody can listen to. And I think
Barack is listening right now. He's tuned in.
I hope so. That's the best part. Okay, Matt, you start off with the best. What don't you like about podcasting?
I would say if I had to pick, the worst part is maybe just that it's hard to, there's so many podcasts out there. It's becoming an oversaturated. It's cool. It's like the market is what the market is, but it's just trying to get your voice out there and share. Cause there's a lot of times we have great info or great guests and you just want to share it and get more people to hear it. So listeners out there, spread the word. If you're listening with regularity, if you're getting anything out of this, tell some folks, let's share this info, share the wealth.
That was nice, man. I like the way you kind of spun that. You're a real politician. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I agree with Matt. Growing our brand, pushing our brand, and getting people to know and appreciate what we do. And, you know, I'm sad to say it's not traditional for people to be hearing strong financial advice from people of color. And so it's just changing that mindset and getting people understanding, like, that we have experts in finance. You know, what encouraged me to do this show years ago, somebody told me that in prime time, on news, radio, there is not a financial show hosted by only people of color. They may splash a person of color in there, but not. And I just thought that we can speak on finance in these conversations and add value.
All right, well, let's jump back into the bag. Next up, we have Candace from Scottsdale, Arizona. And Candace wants to know, what is a UTMA and a UGMA account? Like, what are those accounts and should I set up one for my children? Okay, well, first off, let's share with our listeners, a UTMA and a UGMA. Those are accounts set up with you as the custodian for a minor, basically the custodian of an accumulation account for the benefit of a child. The child's social security number is used to open the account and it becomes the property of the child when the majority age is reached. In some states, that's 18, and others, it's 21. So the custodian is responsible to safeguard the account and use the proceeds of with the child's benefit in mind. So the terms mean you know, UGMA means Uniform Gift to Minors Act, or UTMA, it means Uniform Transfers to Minors Act.
This is a way to encourage you to save for a minor, for a child. I'm for it. And if you're going to, you don't have to, the income that's earned, it's not going to go against your taxes. I think, yes. And I think, you know, myself would have loved something like this to know that I was going to get at 18 or 21. I only could have dreamed of like, hey, you turn 18, you got this big check coming your way or this savings account. So I say, if this is going to encourage you to put away money for your child, I'm all for it. I'm down with the plan, Matt. I'm in.
So Candace, do your research. You ask, should you set one up? We say yes, but do your research, you know, do read up on it. Go to Google University. Make sure you are read up before you do it. But we think it's a good idea.
And also I would say too, like try to make weekly, bi-weekly contributions and something that you can afford. Don't try to spread it out. I'm a true fan and believe in that. So that's one thing I failed to do in my younger years, make those regular contributions. And if you make it something that's affordable, you don't even think about, that's the best kind of contribution.
All right. We got one more question here in the bag. It's from Mika.
I'm just warming up, bro. I'm just warming up. One more. I'm just warming up, man. You know, my J's just getting out there, man. I'm hitting them deep with threes right now. And then you want to take me off and put me on the bench with my name Zion?
Yeah, took you a while.
My knee is good, bro. What am I, Zion? No, my knee is good, bro. Put me back out there, coach.
You got to put that icy hot on before we record so you come in the game already warmed up. But all right, here we go. We got Mika from Charlotte, North Carolina. And she asked, what does a realistic budget look like? Okay, Mika, good question. I'd say a good place to start is the good old 50-20-30 system, where 50% of your money goes to necessary expenses, rent, utilities, car payment, 20% would go to savings, and 30% to flexible spending. And that's it. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, and like, you know, challenge yourself. So like Matt said, if you start off 50-20-30, maybe next year try to be 55-25-20, you know, where you're basically spending less out there, you're saving more, and you're challenging yourself, and you're looking at those percentages and trying to do better. Like my goal is maybe that I want to get down to spending 10% on a team. And I've spoken to a lot of friends, and you know, the good thing about, there's not a lot of good things about this pandemic, but what I should say is that people are saying, you know, I'm saving for the first time. You know, I'm not going out, I'm not buying clothes. Like I used to be Mr. J. Crew out there. I can't realize, I rotate 3 pants every week. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to sound nasty. I don't even get to the 3rd pants most times. But you know, if this is
opportunity, you are changing, we should be in your drawers, right? I'm just playing. Keep going.
but yeah, my point is that you can get to a point, try to get to a point where, hey, where I've minimized my expenses and maybe realizing I'm paying too much in rent or whatever, and try to work on your savings. And I think this is a good start, the 50-20-30 rule, but you should challenge yourself to bring that down, to find ways in which to improve it. But I'm all also, for that.
So Sean, we've read from the people what they're thinking about. We've read their questions and their thoughts, their concerns. What about yourself? Is anything on, you know, if you were to send a letter to the show, what's on your mind?
Well, it's more financial and political at the same time. You know, I can't help not kind of marry the two in a certain sense. You know, we're all about this Black Lives Matter movement, Matt. You know, I'm all over paying attention to it, and I don't want this time to pass, and I didn't do my part, and I didn't understand what was happening during these very critical times. And you know, I'm saying Black Lives Matter, but I'm saying down the road, credit scores matter. But I'm saying down the road, and you know, I don't want people to be naive to it and not be aware of it, and just drive the message home. You know, we talk about financial literacy, well-being, community well-being, generational wealth. There's a political part to it too that we have to understand. And I think what people need to know is that Black votes matter. We are the swing vote.
Say it again. No, hold on. Say it again.
Say it again. Say it proud. I'm James Brown. It hit me one time. Black votes matter. They matter. And if you're in like a liberal state like New York, where you're like, well, we Democrats always win in New York, we got nothing to worry about. In California, it's Democratic, and I'm just no. You need to go out and vote. And I know there's some states like Georgia where I can't say how challenging it will be to wait 4 or 5 hours in the hot southern sun and be, you know, there where there's deliberate voter suppression happening and you it's challenging to vote. You know, it brings tears to my eyes, but you have to like endure the pain and, you know, and go out there and vote. And if you're trying to do like, if you're trying to do mail-in voting, absentee voting, I know there's things like Stacey Abrams was talking about the return envelope. She couldn't even get it open. These are challenges that's going to be hurdles in the way, and you have to find a way to get around it.
I would also chime in that people need to educate themselves down ballot as well. Obviously, there's a presidential election, so we have our candidates, and presidential politics is on the front page of all of our news and all of our consciousness. But in all of these elections, like local and state elections, like I think people need to pay attention and really, you know, read up on whatever initiatives, whatever everything that's on the ballot. I think sometimes we end up getting just caught up on that top line, and there's exactly. things that can get passed that people might not even be able, they might just check something without fully even being read up on it. So I'm not saying, you know, you got to vote one way or the other, left or right. I just want people to be knowledgeable and exercise your right. Do not be lazy. Do not be apathetic. Do not think your vote doesn't matter. Too many people, lives have been lost. People fought for this right. And the people in power and like power brokers will always want folks to just give up and not use their vote. So you definitely want to pay attention, get educated, and exercise your right to vote. So
yeah, and I'm going to say the last thing, like this, doing Two Black Guys Good Credit and my nonprofit Financially Clean, I've had the ability to work with politicians now. And I realize like how important the vote determines in funding for your community, funding for projects that affect your people. So if you want the right people there that are going to find the right money and resources to do to make the change that you want, it starts with the vote. And so, and that to me is all a part of financial literacy. So once again, vote, good people. To all of our listeners, regardless of where you're from, what you do, who you are, and, you know, Matt and myself, we're not trying to tell you which direction, where to vote, but we're just simply saying to vote.
Definitely.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, well, that brings us to the close of this mailbag. We appreciate all of doom, the questions. Doom, and Sean,
I'm busting the beat, Two Black Guys, yeah.
Hey, well, let them know how they can send us more questions.
Yeah, please. We love doing these mailbag shows. It's all about for our listeners. So please, if you have any questions, things you want to ask, because I know sometimes people reach out to me on Facebook and some people have actually called me, but the best way to do it is to email us. Because then we put them all in a file and folder and answer them at twoblackguyswithgoodcredit@gmail.com. But it's the acronym. So it's TBGWGC@gmail.com. That's twoblackguyswithgoodcredit@gmail.com. leave your answer and it will guarantee we will respond to it in our mailbag show. Yeah. And I'm, guess what, Matt? I'm the better half of two black guys with good credit. Keep your money where it belongs, in your damn pocket, good people.
Well, I'm the other half of two black guys with good credit. And I echo what Sean said, send in your letters. Like, we got Tim from Los Angeles who sent us a note saying, I love the show and it's helped me with my savings. Thank you guys for all the info. So make sure you guys tell a friend, share the info, share the wealth. I'm Matt Smith, one half of two black guys with good credit, and I'm out. With good credit.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.